how to introduce this navigatio. Our great ship of fools has always been there, sailing the seas without a rudder, weighted by its cargo of magical books that bristled with spells and secret words so potent that many times they imploded, ripping apart our keel and knocking us overboard. So many times we abandoned ourselves to the mercy of the waves. So many rescues, so many miracles. Like the mariner saint Brendan of Clonfert, who sailed in circles for 7 years before realizing his destination was inner as well as outer, we travelled from book to book as if from one magical island to the next, always believing the next would be the one. Always cast again on the ocean, garments stained with salt water, faces burning in the air, and heads dizzy with the rocking, glinting waves. Setting forth again and again on our unknown journey, welcoming the sea as the sacred landscape of estrangement, throwing our oars overboard as a gesture of faith, ever questing, never losing hope of finding the Blessed Isle. People of the Way, they called us. The Way being simply the infinite sea. Wednesday, the 2nd of January. Back to work. Snow driving sparsely over London. Steely smell of London on the air. The dark flakes flying in my face as I left the tube. Snowflakes peppering the sleeping bags of the homeless. Snow dashed away by the windscreen wipers of the ambulances turning impatiently into the hospital down the road. Snow half settling on the steps up to our great ancient building, set back from the London traffic like a grounded ark. Welcome to HQ. Place of study, offices, shelter for the dispossessed, a portal into many different worlds. I trotted up the steps and passed the foundation stone with its motto, Nisi Dominus Edificaverit Domum, unless the Lord build the house, Psalm 127. Don't suppose the psalmist was thinking of a publishing house, but it fits all too well. With £1 million debt and a slit in the roof, things look bleak. For now, the gold lettering above the grand twin doors still proclaims our identity with all the untrammelled confidence of this enduring medieval institution, the House of Marvellous Books. I went through into reception and an illusion of quiet, swiftly broken by a yodeling of hymns from the post-room on the right, where Ursula was at work flinging letters and parcels about. Cries of, "Drat!" and "Bother!" punctuated the untuneful recital. I crept past. A willing editorial factotum is a necessity in our trade, of course, and Ursula's been with us a long time, 27 years. But it can't be denied that her singing makes a poor impression on visiting hermits and naturalists from the British countryside, who stand in reception clutching their manuscripts with something akin to growing dismay in their hearts. Doesn't really fit with corporate London. The off-key notes of Abide With Me faded as I crossed reception with its shabby armchairs and opened the door in the wood panelling into the silence of the library. The aroma of antiquarian books came to meet me, nut and wood, wafting up two galleries to an arched criss-crossing of beams like some vast ship. A gallery of shadows on the first floor hinted at where our offices were, encircling the library like watchtowers. The armchairs were empty in the alcoves, and a large antique globe sat in its wooden base, patently untouched for decades. A long table down the middle, dotted with reading lamps, was the only reminder of our origins as one of the London coffee houses of the 1650s. With their bubbling political discourse and vigorous outcrops of early print. What was once a bustling core of intellectual life is now a huge, largely unused asset, visited by around 30 visitors a year, who mainly come to study the calligraphy of the 17th century books. I wandered down through the body of the library to the grand window above the librarian's desk at the far end, where the stained glass of gorgeous colours showed Chaucer with his hat.